want to extend a welcome to our visitors. We have a few visitors with us. Some live in town. Have a couple that are visiting from Victory Road. We extend a special welcome to you. If we can do anything for you, please don't hesitate to let us know. Growing up, I was thinking back that there's been many different kinds of people that go house to house, either in business or different things. I remember when I was younger, the milkman used to bring and you could have, you know, milk service. Paper boys and so forth, it would bring right to your door, either the milk, the paper, the mailman. We, at our house now, for convenience, they just drop it off at kind of a central location, and you got to go get it, you know, halfway down the block. There are still neighborhoods that the mail is delivered to your house. You have the UPS guy dropping things off. Different salesmen will go house to house. I remember when I was probably junior high-ish, I had a thriving little yard mowing business, and I'd you know, go door to door with the mower and everything and knock on the door, and I'd especially those that needed mowing. Hey, I am right here right now. I can mow your yard, take that long. And they say, oh, my husband, well, you know, he'll get around to it. I'll do it right now. Okay. You know, and then, of course, next door, now the grass is lopsided, so I'd knock on the, you know, hey, I'm here, I can mow your yard. So there's people that go along placing the ads on the door. I remember we went advertising Vacation Bible School here a year or so ago in these neighborhoods around the congregation, dropping little flyers off advertising Vacation Bible School. Political candidates coming there wanting to talk to you. They don't like talking to me after. I think they mark my house or something because they don't like talking to me after a few minutes. Boy Scouts come to, you know, door to door, different fundraisers and drives and so forth. The young people, have you ever gotten the young people working their way through college selling the magazines? And they only need two more sales or whatever it is. And then there's religious people that will go door to door, wanting to talk to you about religion. That is no different than what Paul did. Our scripture today that Larry read is taken from Acts, the 20th chapter, and Paul is talking about one of the issues about going house to house. And I'd like to read that again. Acts 20, verses 18 through 20 says, "You know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you, and taught you publicly and from house to house." I like verse 18 where it says that you know what manner I always lived among you. That shows Paul's character. You know, we mentioned in Bible class this morning about the difference between, you know, lip service, saying one thing, and living another. Two totally different things. This shows Paul's character. It's not just lip service. You know, lip service of a Christian is absolutely worthless. Lip service of an employee, same thing. You know, oh yeah, I'm right on that, boss. Never get it done. You know, this shows Paul's character. If you ever get a chance, this is totally, well, not totally off the subject, but there is a YouTube video of an interview with the legendary basketball coach John Wooden. And he's taught, you could probably type in John Wooden character. And he talks about the difference. I'm not a basketball fan. Being this tall You know, in high school, I never played basketball. I always looked at a gymnasium and wondered, what are those round orange hoop things in a wrestling gymnasium for? You know, but the legendary UCLA basketball coach, who was literally probably considered one of the greatest ever, he was talking the difference between reputation and character. Reputation is kind of that lip service, how you make people think of you. Character is what you really are. And here in verse 18, we see Paul's character. I haven't just given you lip service. You know by the manner I always lived among you. Not just at church, not just here or there, not just what I say, but how I've lived among you. Verse 20, he says, I've kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you, teaching, correction, training. Those are the things he's done. It kind of makes me think of 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, about the inspired word of God. You know, Paul says, I proclaimed it to you. He's taught them. He's corrected them. He's taught them better how to be a Christian. And he goes on to say, he goes, how I've taught you publicly in a setting like this. Publicly in a formal worship service. We're not going to talk about that today. That's kind of a given. But he says, also house to house. He was in their lives. He was in their homes. Not just on church day. House to house is important. Look at the things that are done, that can be done with Christians house to house. I'm not saying that this public setting is not important. It is. We come together as a body to worship and to give praise to God the Creator. We have just participated in the Lord's Supper, communing us together and with God, celebrating the death of His Son, the sacrifice of what He gave us. This is very important. But Paul also did this house to house. One of the things he did house to house was teaching and studying. That's very important to be able to do. In an intimate setting where you can really ask questions. And I'll tell you, I would kind of equate, I'm not saying that this is what it's saying, but I equate not only house in a home setting, but the intimate setting of, say, a Wednesday night Bible study. I kind of equate that very similar. Smaller setting, people discuss, they ask questions. You do that in a home. It's a different situation right now and sitting at a coffee table with somebody discussing the scriptures where you can teach, you can study. I'm reminded in Acts 11:17, it says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Searching the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. That's important. That's one of the things that we can do house to house, is to study with each other. We've had Bible studies before in homes. We get together and study study God's word. Another thing that can be done very, very beneficial in a home setting is prayer with each other. Conduct prayers where you can sit down and pray for each other's strengths, weaknesses. Prayer about the church in general. is a very, very powerful thing. And in an intimate setting like that, house to house, in small groups, very important. Fellowship. The fellowship that you have house to house or in a small setting, very, very important. You look at the things that Jesus did in homes. He taught. He prayed. He healed people. He fellowshipped. Jesus fellowshipped. He committed acts of service. My favorite, I think, account of one of the acts of service that he did was when he washed the feet of the disciples. In John 13, if you would turn to John 13 and read along. John 13, starting in verse 1, says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father." First of all, I got to stop here for a second. He knew his time had come. We should only be so lucky. We never know. We never know. It could be in the next 20 seconds. It could be in the next 20 years. It could be in the next 50. Jesus knew that his hour, his time, had come. He uses it to the very end. To the end. Helping those that he loved. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Verse 2. After supper being ended, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. That, isn't that comforting for Jesus? Knowing where he was going. It's a little easier facing death. Not looking forward to the punishment. Not looking forward to the pain. But it makes physical death a little bit less fearful. Knowing, one, he'd come from God. And he's going back to God. That's a whole lesson in and of itself. That might be down the road. Another lesson for us. That he's going to God. That's us. We're of God. We're from God. And we know where we're going. Because we're Christians. Verse 4. He rose from supper and laid aside his garments. Took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. What an unbelievable act of service. This is the night that he's going to be betrayed. Within hours, he's going to face a trial and will be condemned to death. And he takes this time to wash the feet of the disciples. He always took opportunities to teach, though. If you skip down into verse 12, here in John 13, he asked them the question, after this has all been done, he asked them the question, "Do you know what I have done to you?" Do you get it? Nobody there didn't understand. Oh, yeah, he washed our feet. That's it, but that's not it. He took, and then he goes on to explain to them what I've done and what he requires of them. He always took an opportunity to teach, whether it's on the seashore, whether it's in a boat, whether it's house to house. If we go back to verse 2 here in John 13, we see that he was in a circumstance of fellowshipping. Verse 2 says, after supper, they were together, they'd partaken of a meal. And after supper, he fellowshipped with them. There's two kinds of fellowship. Spiritual fellowship, which get together and you're fellowshipping, you're studying, you're praying, encouraging, counseling. That's a spiritual fellowship. Fellowship is not always out having a good time. It's not always out laughing, playing, anything like that. Spiritual fellowship is you're fellowshipping and building each other spiritually. 1 John 1:7. I got a feeling you guys are probably going to memorize this verse because I read it so often. The Apostle John writes, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. That kind of fellowship right there is a spiritual fellowship. That if we're walking in the light, as Jesus is in the light, we have fellowship with each other through Christianity. You know, we always hear, you know, blood's thicker than water. Well, the blood of Christ is what connects us. That's that fellowship that we have. But then there's also personal fellowship. There's personal time to get together and fellowship with each other, to get to know each other better, to do things together. And there's nothing wrong with that either. Romans 12, verse 10, Paul says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. When we're together, we express kindly affection. You know, when we're experiencing personal fellowship, we get to know each other's lives better. The better we know each other, the harder it is. If we truly get to know each other better, it's harder to gossip about each other. The better we know each other, it's harder to do something intentionally to hurt the other person. The better you know them, we start seeing things more from their eyes. The more you know each other, you can empathize and sympathize with them better. You get to know the battles that they are fighting. And I'll tell you, we've come together to worship today. We've come to church, even though we are the church. We've come to the building to worship. Every one of us has something in our lives that we're fighting. We have a battle that's going on right now that we're facing. It might be physical. It might be some physical ailment. It might be financial in nature. Payday's not until X date, and we've got X money until then. Who hasn't been there? Maybe you've had a fight with your spouse on the way to church. You come in, you're mad at each other, close the car door, open up the church building, and it's all smiles. But you're still, there's a battle inside of you. Every one of us have things. There may be a family member that you're extremely concerned about. Maybe a friend is dying of cancer. The more we know each other, The more personal fellowship we have with each other, the more we understand, the more we see things from their eyes. We know the battles they are fighting and are willing to maybe help them. The more personal fellowship we have with each other, the more spiritual fellowship we have with each other, and vice versa. You know, some of the things that I think of this group right here that's in here, some of the personal fellowship we've been able to experience together. Eating. I'll tell you, this is an eating congregation. It really is. It is an eating congregation. Anytime we have a chance to bring snacks or go out or something, we do that. Playing games. Just a few weeks ago, we had such a wonderful time after, was it a Wednesday night or Sunday night? Sunday night, I think it was, playing games after church, brought some games, had a blast doing that. To have personal fellowship, you don't have to be in face-to-face contact. We were talking this morning in Bible class about how a phone call, an email, a text makes a day of somebody, that you're thinking about them. That personal fellowship. My father-in-law, I remember, he was physically, I wouldn't say disabled, but limited. And he wore that phone out. The people that were, you know, he looked at the people, here he wasn't able to do much, but he looked at those people that couldn't get out and that were sick. He never thought of himself like that. He'd wear the phone out, call them, how you doing? It you know, discuss what was discussed in the Bible class with them, things like that. And he was always calling people. Fellowshipping hiking. I tell you, a bunch of us have hiked together before. A lot of times, it usually starts out with a prayer. A lot of times while we're hiking, we wind up singing church songs. It's amazing. Shooting, just not too long ago, I got a new rifle and needed to sight it in. Me and Curtis went out, and he was my eyes. He took his spot and scope. We had the best time. Had the best time just talking amongst each other, spending time together, entertainment. Last Sunday night, right after church, we were going to go bowling. That fell through. We're going to go bowling together. Play games, go to a movie, things like that. That is worthwhile fellowship. And just because it's personal doesn't mean it doesn't benefit spiritual, and vice versa. When you spend time together in spiritual fellowship, you get to know each other personally. It goes both ways. But you know what? There is some negative aspects of house to house. Paul addressed this in 1 Timothy 5:13. He says, and besides, they learn to be idle. I need to understand what that word is. I kind of tend to go too much. I need to slow it down. But here, Paul's condemning. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Here we have an aspect of people going house to house, but it's not beneficial. They're not studying. They're not praying together. They're gossiping. They're being busybodies. And they're being condemned by Paul. Criticizing each other. You know, and as people, you like to eat, just don't have roast preacher every Sunday. You know, don't have grilled preacher, you know, criticizing them. I'm tough and, you know, it's not very tasty. discouraging not only people, but maybe programs that they're trying to get going. Undermining people. Spreading gossip. There's a difference. There's a fine line between two friends getting together and discussing things of their heart and gossip. There's a difference between somebody coming to another Christian getting counsel about a situation. 99% of the time, you know whether it's gossip or not. You know the definition of gossip. You know, anytime a conversation starts off, I know I shouldn't say this, but. Anytime you say, I'm going to tell you this, don't tell anybody else, but. There's a difference between friends discussing things and gossip. I'm in a situation that sometimes I hear things. And even though it might be under the umbrella of counseling somebody, I don't like hearing those negative things about maybe somebody else, because as a human, it shades me. I didn't know that about them. I don't know if it's true or not, but maybe what if I start looking at them differently? It may be even false. If somebody is willing to come to you with secrets, keep in mind they're willing to go to somebody else about you. Keep that in mind. Galatians 5:15. Paul writes to the Christians in Galatia, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Let's spend our time, as we go into this next week, let's spend our time in positive aspects of house to house. And it doesn't necessarily mean whether you step across that threshold into somebody else's home, whether the phone calls, that personal relationships that we're building, the spiritual fellowships that we're committed to, the phone calls, the emails, a note in the mail, when we come together Wednesday to study, that more intimate, small study session. Let's focus on the positive aspect of house to house, teaching, encouraging, praying, fellowshipping, rather than the negative. If you need to respond to the invitation, the time is always there. Last Sunday night, long after church, little Alan responded to the invitation. He was baptized. We have a new brother in Christ. Brand new brother in Christ over there. The invitation is always there. But if you right now need to respond and repent of sins in your heart to God, do it. If you need prayers of the congregation, we're together right now. Respond. Do it. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a member of Christ's church that he died for, that he gave his life for, if you're not a Christian, if you haven't been baptized, we have an opportunity now. Do it. Whatever your need, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward while Alan leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand.
The working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is
For just a moment. We have several announcements this morning. We'd like to welcome everybody here this morning again. We'd like to especially welcome those who are visiting with us. If you are visiting and you didn't get a chance to fill out one of these little white guest cards, if you would do that for us and hand it to someone when services are over, we would appreciate that so that we might have record of your attendance. We do have visiting with us Stacy Valentine this morning. And Velma, sitting with her. It's good to have you guys with us. You're welcome back here anytime. That's the only visitor's card I have. If you are visiting again, if you would fill out one of the visitor's cards, I would appreciate that. We have several on our sick list. I have several prayer requests this morning. This one from Kathy Hope. It says, please pray for my family. My aunt was diagnosed with cancer a week ago and only given 2 weeks to live. Mike and I will be traveling to Texas. Also, Sean is making final preparations to go to Nigeria. He still doesn't have a travel date, but has been told he will have little notice before leaving. We'll make sure to keep them in our prayers. I have a prayer request for Rita Bond. Had surgery and will be in the hospital in Montrose, Colorado for about a week. Carolyn Sparks had notice this morning that her brother that lives in Kingman passed away suddenly this morning. My understanding is of a heart attack. We want to be sure to keep Carolyn and her family in prayers at a very difficult time. Robertsons are home sick, or home with Michael and Mason, who are sick. They got the fever and the creepy crud all up and down, so we want to be sure to keep them in our prayers. Also, Stacy Eubanks is home this morning. She's not feeling well, and Bruce has asked us to put her on prayer list. I want to give a thank you to all that had my daughter in prayers. She had a lump taken off her breast, and it came back okay. And we just thank you for all your prayers, and we thank God for giving her a good result on that. Other news and notes, I guess that's all it's on. Oh, Hughes and Daryl's are in Pahrump today. They're up there conducting service for them. Next month, Daryl and I are going to be going. If Daryl does one zone next month, Steve has volunteered to go with me. The following month, Brian is going up in April. So we've got three or four guys that are going to do a rotation, try to go to Pahrump once a month and help them out. It's a very, very small congregation of about six or eight people, and they really need our encouragement. And if you want their email address, I will give you the address or get it from Brian. Just drop them a line and say we're thinking of them. It would be an encouragement to them. 2 weeks from this weekend, Sarah Bullock is having another auction thingy going on out in the parking lot. Anything you have that you would be able to donate to help that, be it cash, whatever. She's trying to raise funds for the Girl Scout project, so see her or see Chris, and they would be glad to help you out with that. Again, that's 2 weeks from this weekend. I don't think I have anything else this morning. If we will, let us stand, and we'll go to our Father. Our Father in heaven, as we end this service this morning and as we approach your throne, we want to make sure that we give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory, knowing full well that we can accomplish nothing on this earth without your helping hand. Father, this morning we have several on our prayer list. We ask you to be with all those that are listed in our bulletin. We ask you to be with them, be with their families.
comfort them, strengthen them, that they be under doctor's care. We ask that you be with the doctors as they minister unto them, that they might be brought to their back to their normal health. We thank you, Father, for the results that Shelby had this last week, and we just give you all the praise and all the honor and glory for taking care of that situation and that she came back with a non-cancerous tumor. We ask you, Father, to be with Kathy and Mike as they travel to Texas. We ask that you be with that family. Death is a tough time to deal with. Brings a lot of stress. And we just ask you to comfort them and strengthen them and let them be safe as they travel. Be with Rita Bond. She has had surgery and she's going to be in the hospital for another week. We just ask you to be with her, be with her family, be with the doctors that work with her, that everything will come out okay there. Father, we ask you to be with the Robertsons this morning as they are home dealing with sick kids. We know there's a lot of sickness going around, and we just ask you to be with them and be with their kids and bring them back to their normal health. Father, as Carolyn's brother passed away in Kingman this morning, we just know that that's a traumatic experience for Carolyn and her family. Very difficult time. We just ask you to be with her and help her to have some comprehension of what's going on, to strengthen her and be with that family as they grieve this loss. Father, we all have things in our life this morning, as Bruce said, that we deal with on a daily basis. Some are shared, some are not. And we just ask you to be with each and every one of us as we deal with those things, that you would comfort us and you would strengthen us and you would keep us strong in your kingdom as we deal with the issues. We ask you now, Father, to be with us as we depart this building. We ask that we might be returned at the next appointed time. And we ask, Father, that you forgive all of us of our sin. We do know that we sin often. And we do know that we fall short.